Front Page Dramas present Death and the Maiden, which begins in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, distributed at no extra cost with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Whatever you do, don't miss the opening chapters of Death and the Maiden, the new murder mystery novel that critics and all mystery fiction fans agree is
the most gripping, vivid, and completely puzzling murder mystery in years.
The plot, characters, and locale of Death and the Maiden are most unusual and entirely different from anything I have ever read.
The story moves with the dramatic swiftness and power of a hurricane.
It will hold you breathless with excitement and suspense from the opening sentence to its last amazing climax.
Take our advice. Order next week's issue of your Hearst Sunday newspaper with the American Weekly in advance from your local news dealer or carrier boy and begin Death and the Maiden. Now to our story. The time, an early spring evening. The place, Wentworth College near New York City. The scene, the rooms of Grace Huff and Lee Lovering.
Oh, hey, Lee, Norma says she's leaving in 5 minutes. My dear, you must see her. That new outfit is straight out of a clip joint.
Oh, Elaine, that sister of yours is a man-stealing pirate.
You're telling me. Where's Grace? Still wallowing in the tub?
Wallowing in romance. Another special delivery letter.
Another one? Oh, my dear, I'm simply consumed with curiosity. Who on earth can be feeling so voluminous about Grace?
I don't know. I've quit worrying about or becoming involved in her affairs. I was patient while she teetered rather coyly on the brink of a romance with Steve Carteris.
Well, Steve's a perfect dear, and it's fun having him around. Oh,
but it wasn't so much fun after Steve was through. Didn't I have to listen to Grace raving about Robert Hudnut?
Ah, but Robert Hudnut, our handsome French prof, left her in the lurch and married... Well, I won't say it.
I will. That unromantic English dean of women, Penelope. But when Grace continued to yearn and moan for Hudnut, like the heroine in a Victorian novel, even after his marriage, I lost my temper.
Well, she's evidently snapped out of yearning now. Say, Lee, I wonder who the author of this hectic flood of special delivery letters is.
Presumably someone who's even more short-sighted than she is.
Oh, Norma, how did you get in?
As I always do, sister dear, quietly and quickly, through the door.
Cat-like, I'd call it.
Oh, Lee, darling, I stopped in at the infirmary to see Jerry Huff this afternoon. His ankle's nearly all right again, and everybody's pestering him now the place isn't quarantined anymore. But he said he'd quite like to see you, Lee, if you drop around with Grace.
Oh.
Why don't you do that? After all, you're such a... Oh, such old friends, growing up together and everything.
They've only put the infirmary out of quarantine today. You didn't waste much time getting around there, did you?
Why should I, my dear? I had to thank Jerry for 3 orchids.
Oh.
He wanted me to take his fraternity bin, too, but I said it just wouldn't be strong enough for such a lovely corsage. By the way, do you have an old brooch or something you could lend me?
Well, why not use some of the other fraternity pins you've been saving for a rainy day?
Poor Jerry. He really seemed disappointed I wouldn't take his fraternity pin. But you know what that means, and I couldn't dream of tying myself down. After all, he's a dear, but he hasn't got a cent. And then think of having that awful Grace for a sister-in-law.
Well, there's a very little chance of your having that awful Grace in your family, or you and hers.
Oh,
I'd rather be dead myself. Yes, and see Jerry dead, too.
Oh, here, here. Come now. No bickering, children. Let's get going, or the boyfriends will have drunk the Amber Club out of champagne.
Well, I'm not going to the Amber Club. Lee, will you please explain to Steve?
Yes.
I've just heard that a friend of mine's going to be in New York tonight. Naturally, we want to be alone.
Oh, you mean your special deliverer? Oh, my dear, how thrilling.
Well, I thought that he and I might go to see Frederick together, Lee. So if you're not using your ticket, perhaps you'd let me have it.
Why, of course, Grace. Wait. Here it is.
Oh, thanks, Lee. And Elaine, it wouldn't be taking you out of the way to drop me. The Cambridge Theater's just across the street from the Amber Club.
All right, come along, Grace. All right, everybody, let's go. We're late now.
I'm ready. Have been for 10 minutes.
Well, if you've got an important date, Grace, why don't you borrow my fur coat? I'm not going to use it.
Oh, you really mean that?
Of course I do. But let's hurry.
Oh, thanks, Lee. Thanks so much. I promise to take terribly good care of it, really. Come on, I'm ready. Let's go.
We'll wait here, Norma, while you park the car.
Grace, where are you going?
Oh, I'll be back in a few minutes. I want to see if my friend's here yet.
Say, I'd give my back teeth for a look at Grace's letter-writing lover. Do you think there's a chance of seeing him?
Well, not if Grace has anything to do with it.
Oh, look. Quickly, we're sunk. Penelope, the Dean of Women, and Dr. Hudnut.
Oh.
Heavens above, there's Marcia Parrish and Dr. Apple, too. Oh, heck, the whole darn faculty's descending upon us.
Oh, Lord, what now?
Well, girls, you've arrived safely, I see. Where are Norma and Grace?
Norma's gone to park the car in the lot down the block.
And Grace is here somewhere.
Very well, girls. We'll look for you during the intermission.
Did you say we're sunk? Well, we certainly are now. Did you hear what she said? She'll see us between the acts. Why did we ever say we were coming to this dizzy drama?
Well, how could we get into New York for Steve's birthday party at the Amber Club any other way? Doesn't dear old Penelope forbid us to come to New York except to visit it for purely cultural reasons?
I know. Now I know why she insisted on buying our tickets when we told her we were going to the Cambridge to see Phaedra.
Yes. Those darn tickets set us back $3.30 apiece, too.
Yes.
But wait. I've got an idea.
Where are you going?
Wait here. I'll be right back.
Oh, girls. Say, girls, you won't have to wait here with me. My date's going to be a little late. He'll join me inside presently.
Say, Grace, you're not trying to get rid of us in a hurry, are you?
Oh, that man at the box office is a perfect lamb. He's given me the exact time for each curtain. Now, all we have to do is sneak over from the Amber Club for the intermissions and mingle nonchalantly with the crowd. Penelope Hudnut won't smell a rat because they're in the balcony.
Penelope Hudnut? But you mean Penelope Hudnut is here? At this theater? Oh, I knew, of course, that he was coming. Well, goodbye. I've got to go in now. My date will find me.
Goodbye. Say, did you notice the way she acted? Nuts, my dear. Completely nuts.
Say, come on, you two. The boys are waiting.
Too bad Grace didn't come, Lee. I was hoping for a sort of reconciliation with the Huff family tonight. Well, poor old Jerry laid up with a busted ankle, and Grace... Say, listen, Grace didn't dig up that theater date as an excuse not to come here, did she?
Good heavens, no, Steve. That's her new heavy date, a special delivery letter a day. She got another special just as we were dressing to come here.
I had a hunch Grace wouldn't come. She thinks I'm a low-living son of a gun. Well, I've often wondered if she told you the reason why we severed relations.
No, and I don't particularly want to know.
Grace disapproves of me, you know.
Steve, darling, of course she disapproves of you. So do I. You're the most disreputable person on the campus, but we all adore you.
Oh, that's wonderful. But don't say it if you don't mean it, Lee.
Hey, you, Lee. First act intermission. Time to go across the street and make bright comments to the faculty on Fed.
Righto. So long, boys. We'll be right back.
Okay, so long. Goodbye.
Look, there's Marcia Parrish. Oh, she's the best scout in the whole faculty. I hate to lie to her.
Be quiet, then, and let me do it. Hello, Miss Parrish.
Oh, there you are. Oh, good, quick. Where's Grace Hoff?
Grace? Oh, well, yeah, I guess she didn't come out yet.
We'll find her for you. Come on, Lee.
Please, do it first. I would do it. It's very important. Please find her quickly.
Say, what's the matter with everybody? Now she's all agitated over something.
Come on, look for Grace quickly.
There she is. Oh, boy, look. It's her boyfriend. Now we can get a look.
Quiet, idiot. Look again.
But it... Lee, it isn't the mysterious boyfriend either.
Mm-mm.
Why, it's Hudnut, the prof. And, boy, look at his face. Is he mad?
Look at Grace. Did you ever see such hatred expressed on a person's face in all your life?
Hey, you get her. I'll wait here.
All right, and don't go near the rest of the faculty or they'll know where you've been.
Sorry. You absolutely misunderstood what I told you this afternoon in the stone quarry. It's all a ghastly mistake. Don't you see how you're shamelessly destroying your own chance of happiness and mine?
Dr. Hudnut.
Oh, Miss Lovering. Excuse me. I'm leaving.
Oh, that pig.
Why, Grace, what on earth's the matter? Why,
never mind. I'm going in now.
Second act curtain. Curtain, please. Curtain going up.
But where was Grace's letter writing Romeo? Don't tell me that correspondence course lover flunked out. And what on earth was she raving to Hudnut about?
Oh, why, this is just the play. Where's Steve? Have you seen him?
A waiter came and got him. He was wanted on the phone.
Now, who would be calling Steve? Maybe... Oh, no.
Lee, I'm terribly sorry, but I've got to leave here at once.
Why, Steve, you look terribly worried. Has something happened?
Something awful will happen if I don't get out of here right away.
Oh.
Can you explain to the others, please?
Well, Steve, tell me. It isn't anything to do with Grace, is it?
Grace Huff. Good Lord, what makes you think that?
Well, I don't know.
Listen, Lee, will you do me two favors?
Uh-huh.
First, don't ask any questions about this. Second, for the love of Pete, don't discuss this with Grace. That girl's gotten me enough trouble already. One day, Grace Huff will wake up and find herself strangled.
Lee, the show's over. Come on, Norma's gone for the car. Hurry, let's get Grace before we run into the faculty again.
That's a smart idea. The less the faculty see of you, Elaine, the better for all of us.
Look, Lee. Oh, well, there's Grace, and look who she's with. That handsome maiden. Oh, boy, I could go for him myself. And I wouldn't have to get a special delivery every day.
Now, listen, I'll get Grace. You stay here and watch for Norma in the car. Don't go away now. Oh, Grace.
Grace?
Why, hello, Lee. David, this is my roommate, Lee Lovering. You've heard about her. Well, won't you excuse us a minute, please? I'm not going home with you, Lee.
No?
David's driving me home. But I do want you to do me a favor.
Yes.
Could you please deliver these three letters for me at Wentworth? I want them to get there as soon as possible. I may be late.
Well, Grace, I'll be glad to do it.
Oh, no. Perhaps it would be better if I kept them a little while.
Why?
Well, Lee, I'm so happy. I'm so marvelously happy tonight. I'm going to say something I never probably have said at any other time.
What?
It's about you and my brother, Jerry.
Oh,
Lee, you don't have to worry about that cat Norma getting his fraternity pin or anything else from Jerry. You may think he's crazy about her now because she's cheap and sexy and... But it's you that he really likes.
Oh,
he's always been terribly fond of you. I'm going to make him realize just how rotten Norma is.
Grace.
She jeered at me, but she'll be sorry for it. Just the way the other people in Wentworth will be. Oh, no one is going to make me hate them without regretting it. I'll have to hurry now. David's waiting for me. He'll probably be asleep years before I get back. Goodbye, Lee.
Next morning, Lee hurries over to the college infirmary to tell Grace's brother, Jerry, about Grace's mysterious conduct and disappearance.
I've come about Grace, Jerry. She didn't come home last night. You haven't heard whether she's eloped or anything.
Eloped? With whom?
Well, she behaved very strangely in front of the theater last night. When we were ready to go home, she suddenly changed her mind and said that David, the young naval officer she was with, would drive her home. But she didn't come home, so she must have gone off with the naval officer.
Oh, but that's crazy, Lee. I never even knew Grace had a friend in the Navy.
Well, neither did I. But someone's been writing her all those special delivery letters. She wouldn't even tell me where they came from.
She wouldn't tell me either. Just laughed and said, wait and see. But there's one thing I'm dead sure of. Grace wouldn't have gone off and got married without telling me.
Well, maybe she decided it on the spur of the moment. Maybe she didn't have time.
That's just the point. She did have the time. See, I got a letter from her early this morning.
No.
Yeah, the night nurse said it was delivered here sometime around 4 o'clock.
What?
It was pushed under the door of the infirmary. Now, if Grace had decided to elope, she'd most certainly have said so in the letter. It's a queer letter. I'd like you to read it. Perhaps you can explain it. Here it is, here.
Jerry, darling, you know how bad I am at expressing myself on certain subjects in words. That's why I'm writing this to you in a letter, and it's important, terribly important. I've got to warn you against Norma Sailor. She's rotten, absolutely rotten. She's always tried to humiliate me because she despises me, and she's trying to humiliate me more now by making you fall in love with her. She doesn't love you. She isn't capable of loving anyone but herself, and she'll make you desperately unhappy if you let her. So please don't get too fond of her. I've always wanted the best for you. Norma is the very worst. That's why it hurts me so much. You see, I know how terrible it is to love someone who doesn't love you.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't bear to have you suffer the way I've suffered. Forgive me for writing this. Love, always. Grace.
Well, what do you make of it?
Well, I expected something like this. You see, Grace almost asked me to deliver this letter. Just before I left her, she had three envelopes. She made a motion as if to hand them to me and then put them back in her bag again. She also said some very nasty things about Norma.
I'm not worried about what Grace thinks of Norma. But what gets me is, why on earth was the letter delivered in the middle of the night? Did Grace come back, or did she get someone else to bring it?
Well,
and why didn't she tell me about the naval officer and everything? Lee, you don't think there's something wrong, really wrong?
I'm not so sure.
Oh, will you answer that, please?
Oh, yes. Hello?
Miss Lovering?
Yes?
This is Mrs. Hudnut.
Oh.
The dormitory warden reported that Grace Huff did not return to the college last night. Something has happened, and I must see you at once.
What has happened to Grace Huff? Has she eloped, or has she met with foul play at the hand of one of her many enemies? You have just heard a dramatic preview of the first installment of Death and the Maiden, the most gripping and completely baffling murder mystery in years. Death and the Maiden begins in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, distributed at no extra cost with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Order your copy of next week's issue of your Hearst Sunday newspaper well in advance and begin the thrilling mystery serial, Death and the Maiden. Listen for another exciting episode of this great mystery novel over this station at the same time next week.